God,
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance tonight. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Yes, Stephanie, welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, Tom, welcome.
Welcome.
Hey, Stephen, welcome. Nice. Is anyone visiting from out of town or new to the meeting?
Brian, all visiting from Richmond.
Hi, Brian, welcome.
Welcome.
John, all visiting from Richmond.
Hey, John, welcome.
Oh, gee.
Brian, so.
Say, Brian.
Welcome. Hey, Harper, welcome.
Hey, Rosie.
I'm Matt, I'm all from Richmond.
Hey, Matt, welcome. Okay, at this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This is from the foreword to the first edition of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. This evening, we are discussing step four. We've divided it up into two parts. Tonight, we're going to be talking about resentments. Please welcome our panel. We have Mike and Dave from Richmond. I will read the first paragraph on page 63, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Page 63. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? Who wants to go first?
Good.
Okay.
Everybody, I'm Mike Crowley. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, feels great to be here tonight. I'm actually from Virginia Beach and did most of my drinking over there. So it feels cool to be here. My sobriety date is March 4, 2019. And Dave is my sponsor. So if I mess anything up tonight, you can talk to him about it. No, but it's just, it's really cool to be asked to be down here, and I'm really grateful, you know. Never thought that I'd be in an AA meeting down here. And, you know, the topic resentments, right on time, you know. yeah. Was working on one on the drive down here, you know. And that's the thing, right? It's like, I can't wish these things away. But what I do have is these beautiful steps that help me basically clear the channel, right? I'm trying to put all these things on paper to basically unblock myself from God and from my fellows. Because that's basically what I'm dying from, is the separation, right? And that's, you know, when I first got sober, if I would have thought that, you know, I wouldn't have been able to pinpoint alcoholism. It was, you know, I honestly believe that I was dying from loneliness. Big part of that is, you know, taking these steps, and I love what you read. You know, it's being able to swallow and digest these big chunks of truth. And what I really am trying to do here is just trying to, I need my mind changed. I've seen, you know, these things in my life one way. I've only had one perception. And I've always lived up here. I've always believed everything that I thought. I thought that I were, you know, I was my thoughts for a long time. It turns out, you know, that's just a crazy person up there. I don't have to listen to it. You know, but I put these things on paper and I don't understand it. It's blind faith at this point of where I'm writing this stuff down, and I'm talking to my sponsor and talking to God and trying to get to a place of where I can see things different. Because what I need to do is basically come at a point to where the person that I'm looking at is the same person as me. And I really like, you know, what Dave Francis shared over here up in Richmond. He said, you know, I don't mind if you say the sick man prayer, just as long as you know that you're the sick man. And it's, you know, this is not a well person looking down on a sick person. This is a sick person looking at a sick person. No matter what the causes are, you know, I've truly believed that everybody's just trying to do the best that they can with what they have. And, you know, resentments for me is, it's very true. It's something that it separates me. And that's what, it'll end up driving me back to drinking. And that for me is to basically die, you know. And I don't think that I'm just going to drink and I'm going to die. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a long, drawn out process of where I hurt everybody in my life. But let's see. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to turn that over.
Yeah, I'm Dave, alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
July 28th, 2012. And I always tell people, I said, when I passed out on July 27th, if I'd known it was going to be 13 years before I had another drink, I probably would have drank more. I didn't think about that till the other day. I said, hey, I should have blasted it off, right? But yeah, but thanks y'all for asking us to come on down. And you want to talk about like a little budding resentment? I usually don't kid around about resentments, right? When Amy reached out to us, Mike works like 3 hours a week. And I was at work and she's like, hey, can y'all come down? And he's like, oh, perfect. I'll already be in Virginia Beach. And I'm like, bro, I texted him back. I said, I'm working. Can we stop this? So I had a 2-hour drive. He had a 15-minute Uber. I ain't mad at him. And I'll tell you too, I didn't have any resentments till I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know I had them. I didn't even know, right? And they always use words like vigorous action. Man, I hated that, right? Because that means you got to get going, you know? And what happens is it says there too, man, our liquor was but a symptom. Right? I couldn't wrap my head around that, right? I thought drinking was my problem. And there's this dude in Richmond. He said he's been sober like 30 years or something. He said he went into his first meeting and the dude said, if drinking is your problem, you can go home now. If drinking is your solution, we got a seat for you. And it took me a little bit of time to figure out that that was the deal, right? I had problems from drinking, don't get me wrong, but my life is unmanageable. I'm spiritually sick. So I drink because that's what works for me. The unmanageability of my life, drinking is the solution to that, right? And then it says in here too, right? He said, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. Yeah, it is funny, right? Or is that a goat? I don't know. I'm sorry. Don't get a resentment about me. I'm sorry. Right, because I thought that cheap vodka destroyed more alcoholics than anything else, not resentments, right? And my sponsor was like, you know, you got to put these resentments down on a piece of paper. And what little bit of pride left I had, I said, oh, okay. Now, look, I could have graduated high school if I wanted to, right? Before I tell you this, just keep that in mind. I didn't know what the word meant. Resentment. I didn't understand. I couldn't comprehend it. That's the right word. Comprehend. I could not comprehend what resentment meant. And I was at the library doing my four-step, and I went over to the dictionary, that big old dictionary they got, right? And once I realized it was in alphabetical order and I got to the resentment part of it, like I read the word, like what it meant, and it still didn't make any sense. So I talked to my sponsor. I was like, dude, I got to be honest with you. And I was like, I don't know what resentment means. And he said, look, dude, when I say something to you and you nod your head, I think you understand what I'm saying. He said, if you don't understand what I'm saying, ask a question. Right? I said, well, I'm asking you a question. I don't know what it means. So he's educated. Right? So he starts explaining it to me. And I'm just sitting there like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he said, why don't you just write down a list of people that you hate? I said, done. That ain't no big deal, right? So what happens is people, right? It says something in here about thorough and honest, right? So my daughters are Samantha and Sophia. And at this time, they were probably, because this one, they didn't take from me the first time. And so they were probably like 3 and 7, calm. So I write down Sophia and Samantha. What's your resentment about them? Say, because of these kids, I can't drink and drug like I want to. That's who showed up here, right? And you know why I wrote that? Because it was true. Ain't nobody tell me to write that. That came from the heart. What happens to a dude like me is I write this stuff down on this piece of paper, right? And I don't have the relationship with God that I need. And if you're a dude like me and you write stuff like that on a piece of paper and you read it, I drink. I couldn't swallow that, man. And that was just one of many. So resentment's a pretty serious deal for a dude like me. I wish I wasn't in a church. I'd talk like I normally do, but I'm going to clean it up here. They call that spiritual growth, right? I don't mess with resentments. I don't play with them because y'all gave me a way to get out of them, right? I pray to God, and I ask God to take me away from that. I ask God to make me understand that resentment is false in the first place. I'll pass. Dave, you told me to go like a half hour and then not say nothing the rest of the night. Is that what you said? I don't remember.
We are moving over to page 65. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our way, our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. We're going to turn over to page 66. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die.
Mike, I'm an alcoholic again.
Mikey?
So I'm a blackout drinker. We got any blackout drinkers in here? Hell yeah. This is my people. And that's the thing is like I had the ability to like black out on resentments. Like I don't know about y'all, but like, you know, I've had 3 DUIs. I lost, you know, I'm a felon from drinking. I lost my license indefinitely. So I walked around Richmond for 11 and a half years. And I only remember a little bit of that, you know. Like I'd be walking down the street, something be rattling around in my brain. I get a few blocks down the road and I'd be looking around and be like, how did I even get here? And that's just it. It's like it completely blocks me from being present. And that's what the gift is of this, right? It's like, that's where you find God in the present time. And like, I've been from being shut off from this for, you know, for so long, it's like I end up believing all this stuff, right? It talked about honesty. There's a thing I like to share about it, about with honesty is like, have you ever told a lie so many times that you actually believe it? Mm-hmm. And that was truth for me, you know. It was like, there's an episode in Seinfeld where Jerry's like, he has to go like, have a polygraph test on whether he watches, I think it's Melrose Place or something like that. And he doesn't want to admit it. So he's like, well, it's perfect. I have the most devious mind at my disposal. And it's George Costanza. And George Costanza is what he tells Jerry is he's like, all right, Jerry. He's like, I'm going to tell you, it's not a lie if you believe it. And that was how I lived my life. You know, it's like I would convince myself of this stuff. And there's something with Sandy Beach. He talks about, he's like, the longer I stay sober, the better my childhood gets. And that's true as well. You know, it's like I had this narrative in my head of how my life was, which was completely false. You know, I used to go around saying that, you know, my dad hit me and he never laid a hand on me. it was like one of those things where I thought I'd get some kind of like, you know, compassion or self-pity or whatever, you know, like, come on, look at me, my dad beats me up. That never happened.
That's funny.
But it's true, you know. That's the thing is like I've lived this one crazy life up in my head, and what, you know, what ends up happening is like I get when I first did my first inventory, I was thorough and honest. But, you know, all I really got out of my first fifth step was a confession, you know. I didn't really learn anything new about myself. It felt, you know, I got relief, but I didn't really get to, like, I didn't learn anything new about myself. I didn't even know what all those things were, you know, in column three. I'm like, you know, I just know it's got self in it, so it's bad. But that's the thing, is like, this is a self-searching and, you know, fearless moral inventory. And I don't know, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here, but I'm really grateful to be here tonight. And yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. So on 66, right? In about five sentences, it's going to talk about how the resentment will kill me, right? But with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, which kind of leans into 10 too, right? This business of resentment is infinitely grave. That's the first one. We found it to be fatal. That's the second one. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. I had no sunlight of the spirit in me when I got here and I was dying. So that'd be three. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. If I drink, I die, right? So what happens is when I write that fourth column, like my sponsor was slick too. Like he didn't tell me there was a fourth column, right? So I'm writing down, you know, write down the people you hate. Yes. You know, why do you hate them? No problem. And then some little checklist in my mind. I was like, yeah, I wrote self-esteem so many times that I just started putting quotation marks. Right. And my fourth step, I always tell them that, I plow deep, not wide, right? There was only about 25 people on there. And probably 23 of them were getting between me and drinking. If you weren't getting between me and my drinking, I really didn't have a problem with you. But so it was all the people that I loved, right? And a couple people from back in the day, you know. But then I started doing that fourth column, and the second column ends up being a lie. Right. Like I'll tell you one. I have my wife on there, believe it or not. And what are you pissed at her for? She don't trust me with money. Right. And we were talking about on the way down here. I said, I guarantee you this. Right. Whoever came up with direct deposit was married to an alcoholic. That I can guarantee. Because it sounds funny, right? And it's kind of funny now sitting on this side of it. But when I used to get my paycheck, when you go to the bank, you know, and everybody be standing in line at 2 o'clock to cash a check, right? I got two kids at the house. Right? I might come home Friday. I might come home Sunday. And that bag is going to be light. I don't know if you have kids. I do have kids. My kids like to eat 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. So that feeding money was drinking and other stuff money. And I wrote that down. And I was like, so my wife doesn't trust me with money. Obviously. So why am I pissed at her for it? So my resentments, the reason that I'm pissed at these people is not true. Right? And I've carried that in as I've gone along in my journey. When I get a resentment about somebody, I can just take a second and be like, that's probably not the accurate, just what's going on. That's why I have a sponsor. That's why I participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. I have people to talk to and they're like, dude, what are you talking about? Because it gets to a point where I, like, in my mind, I'm getting this resentment going. I'm like, dude, I got to talk to somebody. I go to the meeting. I start saying it out loud. And the look on their face is the indicator, like, this is crazy. But hell, I'm already in. I'm going to say the whole thing, you know. But, like, in the middle of it, I know that it's not accurate, you know. And there was a dude in my high school, and he was a Vietnam guy. And he was crazy. like have like little episodes or whatever. I went to a military school, believe it or not. My dad said I need a little extra attention. And I didn't do well there, but he pulled me and he would tell me, be like, I'd be out of control or whatever. And he'd come up to me and be like, I'm going to take you down to the karate center after school and, you know, take some of that energy out of you. Like, this dude wanted to beat my ass, period. And I don't blame him. Right. Right before I graduated, he took me in the office. And this was, so this is 1988, you can get away with this. And he pulled me in the office. He said, let me tell you something, buddy. He said, when you get out on the street, the way you run, somebody's going to kill you or you're going to kill yourself. Not kill myself, but, you know, car wreck, get shot, whatever, right? And he goes, he said, matter of fact, he said, I'll bet you $100 you don't make it to 30, right? Mm-hmm. And I would tell that story, like, can you believe this guy? Can you believe how they used to be back in the day? You know, like I'm 100, you know? But what I understand is this dude cared about me. He was a Vietnam dude, man. He saw what happened to dudes like me. They got killed. And I had to get sober to understand that these people that I were so pissed at, they were all trying to help me. Right? So, and I like that part where it says, for when harboring such feelings, which was a resentment, right? If we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, right? If you ain't figured it out by now, I'll tell you, I need all the sunlight I can get. I need it all. I can't have 50%. I know if there's sunlight out there from God, or whatever you want to call it, the spirit, that's fine by me. Whatever that sunlight is, I need it all. Because I'm a sick dude, right? Like my wife, we were talking the other day, and somehow it just popped up. She was like, talking about getting older, right? And I said, she's talking about what's going to happen when she gets older. And I said, well, I'll be dead and gone. I'm not worried about it, right? This lady starts crying. And I'm like, I thought we were eating blueberry muffins. I don't know what the hell's going on here, right? And she's like, I was like, what's wrong, baby? And she goes, she said, I can't imagine living life without you. I don't have that in me. I'm not wired like that, right? I don't think of other people like that. So I need to use what y'all showed me how to do, right? To be compassionate. And when somebody has a problem with me, I have to be understanding of their situation, right? I normally don't talk about people that I sponsor, but this dude's not here, so I'll make fun of him. he's always calling me, oh, this guy at work, oh, this guy, rah, rah, like all this stuff right that. And I go, so let me ask you a question. I said, do you ever go up to somebody and say, hey, in about a minute, I'm going to say this to you in this tone of voice. Is that okay with you? Right? He said, no, never, never. I said, well, why do you expect them to? Mm-hmm. People are just saying what they're saying. Mm-hmm. They're just doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I had to come to Alcoholics Anonymous to understand that when somebody pulls out in front of me, they're not pulling out in front of Dave Graziano. They're just pulling out. Right? Not everybody's conspiring to make my life difficult. I'm telling you, before I got here, I was like, and then this guy, they flew planes into the World Trade Center to piss me off. No, they didn't. Just relax. Because come to find out, it's not all about me. Right? And if I can get to a place through going through the steps and understanding that God can make it all happen. Not Dave, God, right? That the more that I can help them instead of getting mad at them. How can I understand them a little better? How can I take the personal side out of it? It's not a personal attack. Where I work, if somebody shows up an hour late, they weren't like, I could be on time, but Dave's going to be all pissed if I show up an hour late. You know what I mean? That's that, right? Why are they doing this to me? But anyway, that's how I'll pass.
Thank you. We are continuing on page 66. We turned back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done." We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one.
Mike, I'm an alcoholic. Each and every one heard. yeah, I was just sitting here. I was thinking about something that Albert Einstein, I think, said. He was saying that, you know, the great illusion of mankind is that there's more than one of us here. And that's really what I've learned from the fourth and fifth step, you know, is that we're all really the same. I've heard of a few fifth steps now, and they're all the same. It's just, you know, we're all just fearful people. We end up stepping on the toes of everybody in our lives, and then we end up here. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. I can't do that myself. If I could, I wouldn't be here. If I could do any of this stuff by myself, I wouldn't be here. you know, and it's one of those things where I ask God for this, and then it's up to me to take the spiritual action. You know, because I can ask him all day, and then, you know, I show up to work, and then everybody's doing it wrong, and then it's back to me again. And that's what ends up happening. The more I just eventually keep pushing God out of my life, I end up showing up, and I show up quick. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely a sick person, you know, and when a person offended, we said to ourselves, "This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him?" I think that's all I've ever wanted was just to be helpful. I don't know about y'all, but when I feel my worst, it's like when I feel like I don't have a purpose. This is what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me. It's given me purpose in life. You know, we were talking about it out front. I think we've all been divinely crafted to help somebody. Each and every one of us, you know. And it's all through of our experience. And, you know, I would have never thought that 3 DUIs and being a felon and all those terrible things that I used to drink over would turn out to be my greatest assets in my life. I get to be here with y'all and my family. And said, we avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. You know, like, I think I've always had alcoholism. I didn't get alcoholism from drinking. My alcoholism comes from you know, where my drinking comes from my alcoholism, not the other way around. I've always walked around with this, like, you know, this irritating feeling that I don't have what I want, or I'm not where I should be. I didn't really know what I always thought tolerant was, like, a kind of a negative word. It was like, oh, I gotta tolerate this person. But it's not. It's like they've told me a long time ago. I was like, I don't have to like everybody, but they don't have to know it today. And it's true, you know. It's the spiritual action, and I can love everyone. Now he talks about it too. It's like, can I tolerate everybody? I can to a certain extent. You know, I just have to keep things to myself and talk to God, and maybe, you know. But let's see. Putting out of our minds the wrongs others have done, we resolutely look to our own mistakes, which I was never able to do. I always thought that everything I thought was true, and everything I did was because the other person deserved it. But it turns out, you know, when, like I said earlier, it's like we're all the same people. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us black and white. And we admitted our wrongs honestly, and we're willing to set them aside, matters straight. I don't see, when I first got here, I didn't see the point of putting pen to paper. I was like, I know all this stuff already. I can just go ahead and, you know, have this little talk. But that's the thing, is I can. I never knew so many things were going to come out in the process of me putting pen to paper. I think it's one of those things where I can get caught up in it. I like to stare at the problem, you know, and I think for a long time I was like a scribbler, you know, like I just write down all this stuff and be like, yeah, and like try to overanalyze myself, you know, but it's really just putting it on paper, discussing it with somebody else, asking God to help me, and then moving forward. And yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. At the bottom is 66, right? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol, right? I can't just say, oh, I'm not going to have one today, right? I got to have God's help, you know? And it talks about too, right? Fancied or real, right? A lot of mine were fancy. That's a high-end way of saying made up, in case you're like me, right? I had to have that pointed out to me too, right? You know, and one thing about the resentments, right, just to get a little bit ahead of what we're talking about, is it says that we turn back to the list for it held the key to the future. Right. So this is the list that I'm going to be taking and making my amends off of. Right. Well, if you're like me, that was part of my list. I probably had about 75% more people that I'd hurt than people that I was mad at. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And the humility piece that comes out about that, right, is I go in front of these people that I treated horribly for no reason whatsoever. Right, because mine were fancied, right? And the majority, not all of them, but the majority of the people that I'm making these amends to were telling me, hey, it's all cool, man. Some of them are like, yeah, that's cool, but I still need my money, you know? And these people, it's humbling because they forgive me. They honestly forgive me for what I did to them. So if I can go in front of, just call it, just say my wife, right? And make my amends to my wife. And she can forgive me, right? And then somebody at work or somebody in my life in an AA meeting says something that I don't like, and all of a sudden I'm all wound up about it. Hey, whoa, 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 pal. I sat in front of people that really hurt me, that I really hurt, rather. And they forgave me, and I can't just let it slide. I can't ask God, hey, man, how can, you know, I know I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't be pissed, but I'm getting pissed, right? And that's funny, too, about resentments, like the power of them. Like, alcoholics ain't the only people that have resentments. I learned that, right? But to the severity and the concentration of the resentment, right? My wife's a teacher, and she came home one night, and she was like, can I say the word bitch? Mm-hmm. Is that okay? So she was like all mad at this lady, Betsy, or whatever her name was, right? She's like, Betsy did this today, and blah, 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 blah. She was wound up, right? Now I'm getting wound up. I'm like, yeah, Betsy. Yeah, I hate Betsy, right? So this is on a Tuesday, right? I come home work on Friday, right? I was like, how was work today? She's like, oh, it was good. You know, and then she talks for like 45 minutes. You edit that part out. And I said, yeah, what's that bitch Betsy up to?
Yes.
Yeah, hand to God. You know what my wife said? I ate lunch with her. Say Wednesday. Up to that point, I'm like, if I ever see him, where's your man? Where's your man? I'm gonna punch somebody. And I tell you, I had that sick, man, because I don't know about y'all, man, but I drank a lot, and I did a lot of stuff that outside issues, drugs, right? I would have stuff twisted in my head, but I would believe it, right? And one serious one is when I come up in here, and step two says, came to believe. I thought it said, came in here believing. Mm-hmm. Right? And that almost killed me. Because y'all believed in this higher power. And I didn't. Right? Little small little words I get. Right? But the two dudes that helped me go through the book, man, they're both awesome. And this isn't what they said, but this is what I heard. Right? They were like, oh, you got to pray for this dude, right? I'm like, I hate this dude. Pray for him. I don't pray for me. I sure as hell ain't praying. And then it was like, I was probably sober like 5 years, and somebody was talking about the sick man praying. I was like, oh, it's a prayer for me to be better. It's not a prayer for that person to be better. I had it all twisted. You know what I mean? And then, so a buddy of mine, a sponsor, he goes, I heard that you're supposed to pray for people, right? In AA. And I said, well, I ain't never heard that. It's probably true, right? So he's talking before the meeting. He's like, this dude at work, and somebody told me I should pray for him. I was like, bah, bah, you know, whatever, whatever. Great sponsor. And so then the dude gets up there that night, and he's telling this story about being in Iraq. And these mortars are coming. And if there's any military dudes, and like he could tell the steps of the mortars that they're getting closer. Right. And they're jammed up. They can't get out, right? So he started praying for the dude firing the mortars. Mm. He prayed for his family. He prayed for the people who love this dude firing the mortars. And the mortars stopped. So I went up to the dude after the meeting. I said, I think you ought to pray for that guy. That's all I got for that. Thank you.
All right.
There's more?
There's just a little more.
How long is this book?
This is our last reading on page 67. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
Y'all have about 5 minutes each, Jeff.
I was about to say, I already read this. I had no idea.
You're not passing, are you? Yeah. Go read ahead again.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I guess what the last bit I got on this is that, I mean, it took me a little while to just figure out that really resentments is just a, what's been described as like, you know, it comes from the Latin word to basically resensitize, to refeel. And I'm pretty good at replaying these things and hurting myself with them over and over and over again. You know, and that's the thing is like, and it's always from this perspective and it's mine. Like, oh, look what they've done to me, you know, and I'm like, look at this. And I keep, you know, staring at this one thing, but what ends up happening through this process is I get, you know, my sponsor to basically be like, well, maybe you're wrong. Maybe it's like this.
Maybe.
And that's it. It's like, I'm hoping to get to this point so I can move forward. I've never had a little bit of anything in my life. So when I get a resentment, it's a resentment. Like, and I've got a few of them, you know. I need to put pen to paper. And I had a few pop up this weekend, you know. And they'll just keep coming. I can't wish them away. But what I've realized is like through self-sacrifice and service, what this program has given me, there's a life beyond my wildest dreams, you know. It's cool to come down here to, you know, get to hang out and be with my family, be present for my family. And to have no resentments and basically what are a lot of the times resentment is just a separation between another person. There's been a few times where I just need to clear that up, you know. I think it's Bob Darrell he's talking about. It's like if I think somebody doesn't like me, I'm gonna not like you first, right? And that happens at work a lot. You know, I'll walk by somebody, I'll be like, hey, how you doing? And they don't say anything. I'm like, oh, this person is pissed at me, or they don't like me. Maybe they just didn't hear me. Maybe, you know. Oh, or Dave, you know, Dave brought up something to me one time, and I never even thought about it. It's like I'll go up to somebody at work, and I'll be like, well, they'll be like, hey, how was your weekend? And I'll tell them all about my weekend, and I'll just walk away. I didn't even ask how theirs was. Like, oh, thanks for asking. Mine was great. I'm guilty of that all the time because that's my problem is me. I'm suffocating myself with myself. And, you know, with these beautiful steps and this, you know, and God, my life, it's been a blessing. So thanks for having me here tonight. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Said we place them before us in black and white. There's something really, to my experience anyway. And like I should have said this earlier, I'm just talking about me, man. You do you, I'm talking about me. You don't like what I say, that's fine by me, right? I get paid the same whether y'all like it or not. So I'm not worried about it. But to write it down, right? Like I said earlier, nobody told me what to write. They gave me a basic guideline of stuff to write down. And I wrote it down. So even a born liar like me can't deny it. Because it's right there. It's my handwriting. I wrote it. You know? And then I remember my sponsor was like, because believe it or not, I didn't want to do a fourth step. You know what I mean? Said back here. Many of us had never attempted it. Yeah, many. I don't know anybody who just does this. You know what would be a great thing today? Write down what a dirtbag I am and then talk to somebody about it. I did it because I was dying, bro. That's all there is to it. But I had one, right? My sponsor was like, I was like, well, what about this? You know, just write it down. And he's like, at the end of the day, he's a Yankee, so he's a little rougher than me, right? So he's like, it's going to be all your fault. That all this whole deal is your fault, right? And I'm like, that can't be. Can't be. He's like, no, dude, all of it. And I'm like, okay, all right. You want to play it like that? So I got one in my head, right? Something happened to me. And there's no way in hell this is my fault, right? He's like, write it down, right? So I go over and do the fifth step, right? And he's like laughing, not laughing at me, but like pointing stuff out that's like so obvious to me today. But at the time, I have no clue what he's talking about. He's helping me look at it from another angle because he's done it, right? It's not his first time doing it. He did it himself, right? So we get to the end of the list, man. I'm sitting on that one. It's probably resentment at the end of the day, right? I'm sitting on that one. I'm like, I can't wait to lay this one on him, right? This is not my fault. Y'all want to hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Good. I wish you'd said no, but I'll say it anyway. So when I told him, I said, when I was a kid, I was like 9 or 10 years old. And my brothers, I'm in the three hole when a kid, and I got two older brothers. And on a sidebar, man, my brother Tommy's drinking himself to death. Do you want to throw a prayer for him and my mom and my family? I would appreciate it. And they tied me to a tree, right? And if you're under 40, you're going to think this is horrible. If you're over 40, it was what it was. I'm 56. That's where we grew up. And they tied me to this tree, right? And they took a stick. Can I say shit?
Yeah.
Makes the story better. And they tied me to this tree, man, and they took a stick and they put it in some dog shit, right? And you can laugh if you want. It ain't funny. Funny. It still ain't funny. And they held my head and they took the dog shit and they put it in my mouth, right? Still laughing. So I said to him, I said, so how is that my fault? And he goes, you really think that made you an alcoholic? I said, damn. all the air went out of the balloon, you know, like my one loophole to get out of this thing. Stuff happens. Stuff happens, right? And ever since I've been sober, nobody has treated me as poorly as I treated people on a regular basis. Not even in the same conversation, right? Because you know why? I didn't care about you. And I started at the core. I didn't care about me. You didn't have a chance. I look right through you. I didn't give a damn about your problems. I didn't give a damn about you. Even if your name was Sophia and Samantha. Mikey touched on loneliness, right? And the book is going to tell me that I'm going to know loneliness like few men do, right? We hear it all the time, like, yeah, I get that. Yeah, loneliness. Yeah, I was pretty lonely. Loneliness like few men do. I'm laying on my couch, and these two little beautiful gifts from God are crawling all over me, and I can't feel a damn thing. I'm totally separated from the human race. I'm totally separated from God's children, right? And if you're in here today and you're in that loneliness, know this statement to be true. Loneliness is God's invitation to get to know him because he's right there, right? This isn't AA, but it's in the conversation, right? When Jesus was on the cross, right? And don't, if you get all upset about that, just listen. Just listen to what I'm going to say, right? And I'm going to paraphrase. Jesus in the middle, two criminals on both sides, right? The one dude on the right or left, or however you look at it, he said, man, I heard your dad was big time. Heard he was a VIP. Get us out of this. The one on the left said, can I go with you? That's how close God is He's right there. It's not a wall. He's right there with you. And if you don't believe that, look around you. You're surrounded by some of the worst drunk, self-centered bastard and bitches in the whole goddamn city. Right? Mike's laughing. He's got so many DUIs. I told him, you're lucky the state lets you wear shoes.
True.
But I tell you what, you know, you come in here and you don't understand what's going on. Stick around. Because those two little girls that I was telling you about was walking into a restaurant. I was like 4.5 years sober. Or as my buddy would say, 4 years. You don't need to put a half in there. He's like a short guy. How tall are you? 5'8" and a half.
5'8".
But they was talking. I was talking to Sophia, the oldest one, and she was 14. And I said, what'd y'all talk about at school today? And she said, well, we talked about growing up and having kids. I said, oh, that's pretty cool. I said, what'd you say? She said, I want to be like your mom. I want to have 3 boys. And then a girl. I said, that's pretty cool, right? And she said, she hit me with this one. I'm going to name my first son after you. You know what my wife said? Of course you are. Bro, I didn't come here for that. I did not come here for that. I came here because I can't stop drinking. My daughters, my handwriting's crazy. They're going to get me to sign my last name, Graziano, and they're going to get Graziano tattooed on their forearm. Mm-hmm. So when they change their last name, they're still a Graziano. That's what goes on in here. That's what goes on in here. It's a trip, man. It is a trip. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's give them a hand.
Yeah, Mike.
We are going to pass the basket in accordance with the seventh tradition, which states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements?
I got one. If you want to come up to Richmond, Buford Road Group's having its some year anniversary. Next Wednesday. Potluck at 6. Ebony from Virginia Beach is coming up. Gas, yeah, only $3 a gallon.
Any other announcements? James, do you have an announcement? You're supposed to announce. I'll do it. I was trying to be funny. I'm sorry. We have an announcement. The Simple Actions Group is sponsoring an effective sponsorship workshop on Zoom. It is Tuesday, September 16th. The speaker is Chris R. from Ingram, Texas, from the Primary Purpose Group.
Wide open.
He will be speaking. That's
wide
right.
Open, that boy.
He will be speaking from 7 to 8 p.m. And then there will be an ask it basket. You can ask questions and he will answer them for about a half an hour after that. It is our normal Zoom link, but it is on Tuesday night. This is Zoom only. Do not come to the church. This is Tuesday, September 16th.
Hey, I'm Emily.
Hey, Emily.
Thank you.
Ben.
Being an alcoholic, October 24th, the Scout Cabin's doing Halloween at the cabin costume party, 8 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Thank you.
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
And that wonderful workshop that's going to happen in just a few weeks. There's some yellow flyers on that table over there. Please take them back to your groups. I know we don't like to say pass out. Distribute them. And then there's some orange flyers too for our November event. Take them with you. They're not doing any good in here. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Hey, Sierra. Thank you, Sierra.
Thank you.
Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available on the table over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a book. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. I will help you get hooked up. If you're a little bit shy, you can send us an email at info@simpleactions.net. Smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held just up Colonial Avenue at Cafe Stella. In closing, can we please thank the panel again for sharing? Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to come up and say thank you to Mike and Dave.
It's not necessary.
And John has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
Don't even call it.
All right. Thank you, John. We have a nice way of closing.
John Masson.
That was really good.
That was awesome.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
All right.